Today we'll read a passage from Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, from verse 11 to verse 14. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not accustomed with the teaching about the righteousness, but solid food is for mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This passage written to the Jews who were scattered and who started a very good Christian life. Even in persecution, they had joy. And in chapter 10, we found that they accepted the biggest trials. The possessions were taken from them. But anyway, they were in joy. But something happened with their faith in time. And now we found them weak, ready to give up. And that's why the author wrote this passage, to make them understand that the problem is not with the trials. The problem is that they didn't stay in the Word of God, and they became weak. And that's a danger for every one of us. If we are not staying in the Word of God, we are becoming weak. 1 year passed by. A year of crisis for many countries. Many people are saying that it's a global crisis. We don't know if that's the crisis described in the book of Revelation, but anyway, we know that it's a year, 1 year closer to Jesus' coming. 1 year to the preparation to meet Jesus Christ. Maybe you had a year full of achievements, of prophet, or maybe full of failures, of loss. But this year passed to into eternity, and never will come back. Only one time, when we will stay before Jesus Christ, Jesus will remind us about a year of 2008. And he will not remind us of our loss or of our achievements or why we didn't buy a house or why we lost one which we had. He will remind us only about one thing. He will ask us if we looked for him and his kingdom, his righteousness, more than everything else. If we had, in 2008, the spiritual maturity as a focus, if we had his words as a priority of our life. I remember many times when I was visiting my mom with my kids, I used to carve a mark at the entrance door with their height to see how tall they were. And from year to year, we still have those marks because they are craved in the door. I will not do that with my door, but visiting my mom, I was leaving those marks. And I was interested to see, to have evidence of their growth. Would be great if here at the entrance door, every one of us will have a mark of our spiritual growth in 2006, 2007, 2008, and to see when we are growing, and if we don't grow, what's happening, to understand that something is wrong, because we need to grow. And you know that the growth, it's not in our power, is God's provision. Because if that will depend on us, every year when you see any difference in your development, spiritual development, that will lead you to be more proud, and the result will be only pride. But because God made us as natural kids, we don't need to worry about how to make them grow. God made them already naturally to grow, and the only thing that we have to worry about is to eliminate those obstacles which keeping them from a sound, a proper growth. And that's with us as well. When we came to know Christ, we got involved in a constant growing process. And God wants us to get in this aggressive run, because the Christian life, it's not a walk, it's not even a jogging, it's an aggressive run. And if you don't believe me, look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? That's why run in a such a way as to get the prize." And he concluded that, he said, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." Apparently, he likes Taekwondo. But he said that for him, the Christianity, it's an aggressive run. I'm saying that because I heard many times Christians saying, "Oh, for me, it's important just to get to heaven, only to be at the gate. It's not so important to get a crown, or I'm not worried about that. For me, it's much better just to be at the gate in heaven." And that's not what Jesus told us. He said, no, your Christian life should be an aggressive run. And here in the book of Hebrews, we saw two categories of people. One of them are the infants, and you know that the infants are a blessing for our congregation if they are natural infants. If they just came to know Christ, that's a blessing for us. And you know that for every family, when a newborn child comes into this world, that's a big celebration. But it's a tragedy if the years pass by and that child remain on the same level, on the same level of his maturity. And that's why there is even a subject in the school, child development, to teach us how to eliminate, to take rid of those obstacles, to let a child grow. And I think that we should have such a subject in our congregation to understand what should we do to eliminate those obstacles, first of all, in our life. And look at this kid. They are slow to learn. They need someone to teach the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. They need milk, not solid food, because they are not accustomed with the teaching about righteousness. And you know the difference between a child and an adult. A child is the one who holds his mom's hurt and he cries every time when he doesn't get the attention. He wants all the attention to him. He's the one who demands all attention to him, and he is not serving others. And we invest in those kids with the hope that one day they will start to serve others. And for a family, it's a tragedy if a child doesn't grow. It's the same tragedy for God's family. If we have people who came long ago to Christ, but they are not growing. They are not involved in that aggressive growing. And you know that in your childhood, you were coming to the mirror to see the evidence of your growth, to see the evidence of your maturity. I remember I was 8 or 10. I even shaved myself to have some mustache or some to look like a man, because that was the desire for us. And I wonder if God has the same mirror to show us where we are, to come just in front of every one of us and to say, hey, look here. Look where you are. Look, what's the difference between 2007 and 2008 in your spiritual growth? Let's see if God provides such a mirror, because that's what James said in 1:25, that the Word of God is a mirror, and that mirror will show you who you are, will show you your inner part, which is not visible in a normal mirror. And we don't want to have kids in our congregation, those who long ago had to invest in others, but they remain kids, because we have a lot of problems because of them. First of all, they are tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Second, they are not ready to understand the Word of God. Third, they are worldly. That's what the Bible says about them, because they have jealousy, quarreling, and everything which is not making them so different from this world. But we would like to have mature people in our church, because, first of all, they are teachers, and here is not about a gift of teachers. It's about our maturity when we are ready to invest in others. They're accustomed to the solid food. They're also acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. And by constant use, they have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's see again what's the main difference between an infant and a mature person. First of all, Book of Ephesians says that Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, to equip the rest of the church with one goal, to make them, to teach them to serve others. So the main difference between an infant and mature is that the mature person starts to invest, to impact others when the kids are waiting, expecting to be served. So it's all about impacting, and that's why you can think about this morning who impacted your life, and think about the impact which you bring to other lives, and you'll find out where you are in your spiritual growth. It's about eating the food, because the Word of God is the food, but also is the mirror, and you'll see is the tool how we can grow in our maturity. And I showed here different stages of our maturity. We all start when we need somebody to feed us with the meal. But after that, we are passing to more solid food, and we are coming to the stage when we can take that food and feed ourselves. Later, we'll even learn how to manipulate with the spoon. And we are all good in that. But a time will come when we will feed others. when we invest in others. Now, you know that our maturity is all about our surrendering to God, how we surrender to God. And it's all about worship. So when we say worship, it's a confusion because many times we are saying that we came to a Sunday service to worship God. But what were you doing the rest of the week? You weren't worshiping God. We have the worship team, but what the how we will call the rest of the church is not a worship team. We have a worship leader, but who is Terry in this case? Is he not a worship leader? So it's a much confusion with the subject of worship, and that's why we would like to understand that it's everything about worship. And our maturity is seen in the way how we are worshiping God, and also it's the way how we surrender to God. And now I want to make everything that I said very clear, because I want to show four signs of our maturity, and all those four signs are found in the chapter 12 of the book of Romans. The first sign, how do you know that you really worship God and you are mature person, you your maturity is different from 2007, is if you started to have delight in the constant Bible study, meditation, and prayer. Why I put the Bible study, meditation, and prayer? Because sometimes people are coming to the Bible study, but they don't grow. Why? Because they only they are testing the Word of God, but they are not feeding with the Word of God. And you know in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, what God says about those who are testing. You can find people who are testing the Word of God regularly, but anyway, they are going to hell. Why? Because God wants us not only to test, but to feed ourselves by meditating on everything that we are studying during that our Bible study, and after that to turn our life in a prayer life. That's why I put here Bible study, meditation, and prayer. Second, the people who are grown spiritually, they are active in church with their gifts. And that's from verse 4 to 8. From verse 9 to 13, those people who are growing spiritually, they love others in action without hypocrisy. And from verse 13 to 21, they are overcoming the conflict with love. So four signs of our maturity, and those signs will be much more clearer if we will see the passages themselves. So let's look now to the scripture and to see if we are interpreting correctly the Word of God. Again, God made us His lovely kids, and He invested in us everything and made us to grow. And now we would like to stay and to look to 1 year before and to compare if we are growing or not. And we need some evidence, and we are looking into God's mirror, and we would like to see those signs and to compare ourselves and to be make the Word of God very clear. Are we growing or not? And the first sign here in the first verses is constant Bible study and prayer. The author says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. So, first of all, we are in the under the constant influence of this world. 24/7, we are under the influence of this world. And God wants us to not conform with this world. God will tell us even to not conform with our church. You'll not find in the Bible that we should conform with our church. Because if you are coming to a church which is not active, you are becoming like them. He will say, no, find in the church some models and follow them, but don't follow the whole church. Why I'm saying that, because first time when I came to the church in my life, I didn't understand why the church is gathering together. So I figure out maybe they are working during the week, convincing and asking their friends and neighbors to come to this place to hear the word of God. And that's why the next time I told you already, I came with 25 people, because that's what I understood that this church all about. But and I was keeping bringing teams of people into the church, but in time I understood that nobody's doing that. So I confirmed myself with the rest of the church, and they said, I'm the only foolish one which I have to do that, because I understood that that's not a good thing to do. So that wasn't the right thing to do, to confirm with my church. And that's why many times the people are becoming as the rest of the church. And conforming is to let yourself influence. Let me tell you about a constant fight which we have in our house. Did I get your attention? I will not tell you about all the fights because I want to keep my image. I will tell you about a small fight. So I like smells, good smells, fragrances, but my wife doesn't. That's why when I'm coming, I'm plugging on a diffuser, which spreads aroma in my house, and in 10-20 minutes, I'm getting accustomed with that smell. And when my wife is coming, she's opening all the doors and the windows because she cannot stand under such a strong smell. But what happened with me, I don't feel anymore. And that's why we are in the world and we are getting used to everything that is happening around us. I remember first time when I went to Germany, I saw a very nice looking girl with such rude words, with some shoes, very heavy shoes, and she was walking like a soldier, and I said, wow, that's such a crazy thing to do. But next year I went and said, it's not so crazy. Even she looks okay with those boots. But one more year, and I purchased something for similar for my daughter. So do you see? We are conforming ourselves with the rest of the world. How can we stop the influence of the world upon us? How can we stop that influence? There is only one way. The influence of the world will stop in the moment when we let ourselves to be influenced by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is teaching us, but it's not teaching us like the rest of the literature. It's teaching, rebuking us. And that's the part which we don't like so much. So, and not only rebuking, but also correcting, showing us how to change ourselves. And the fourth level is when God said, okay, I taught you, I rebuked you, I showed you how to correct. Now, what's your decision? So, and every time when we let ourselves to be transformed by the Word of God, the influence of the world is stopping. If you are not under God's influence, guess under what influence you are. So now we do understand that the transformation, and here is the word metamorphosis, is the same word, metamorphosis, which is used only one time in the Gospel, when Jesus on this mountain got transformed into such a light that the people were astonished to see that light. The same is happening with us. Is the same transformation which is happening with the ugly caterpillar, which gets transformed into butterfly. So God will tell us that we have a lot of ugly things. More I am approaching to God, more ugly I see myself. And more need for transformation I see in myself. And that's what God is saying to us, that we have a lot of ugly, ugly things. And we have to allow God's Word to transform those ugly things in some very nice, beautiful, attractive things. And if you don't believe me, you can check out with Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, first three verses, or with James, the other apostle James, who wrote in 1 James verse 21, he said, get rid of all the moral filth, of all the deceitfulness, of all the malice, of everything bad, evil in yourself, by accepting the Word of God. There is no way to stop the influence of the world upon you if you are not accepting the transforming Word of God, which will renew your souls. And I'm not going to talk about renewal, because we all love to renew our house, renew our cars, renew our closets, and we like to renew everything around us. And God says, I would like to renew first of all yourself. So that's why the first sign of your maturity is if you in 2008 started to love the Word of God more than you loved in 2007. If you in 2008 allow more time with God, if you spend more time in constant meditation and Bible study, that's the first sign, and that's the first precept or exhortation, and that's the first goal for 2009. If you would like to change something in your life, if you are not happy with your spiritual growth for the last year, you have a way to change things, and for 2009 we can change by allowing more time with God, by focusing ourselves on God and on His righteousness, on His Word. And that's the first step. The second step is from verse 4 to 9. And this passage tells us about how to exercise the gifts accordingly. We all got spiritual gifts because God left for us a special mission, but He equipped us with special abilities to fulfill that mission. And every one of you, everyone who came to know Christ, who received the Spirit of the living God, received also the spiritual gifts. And we have to exercise them. If somebody will tell me, I don't know, even my gift is because you didn't exercise him. How can I know my spiritual gift if you come to your leader and you'll say, hey, I want to serve this church. And when you start to serve, you'll understand what you love to do. And also the people will tell you that they are blessed by your service in this or that area. And you will find out what is your gift. So the second sign is if you are exercising your gift accordingly. And many people try to jump. They are not spending so much time with God and His Word, but they want to serve. And that's not correct. God says, no, no, no. If you would like to grow spiritually, first of all, stay in the Word of God. Meditate on it and pray. The second will come the service with your gift. Don't try to skip the first one because you'll never serve properly. The third step, the third sign is love without hypocrisy. And the author shows especially three evidence of this genuine love. First of all is the respect. The respect which you have for your brothers and sisters in the church. The second is the giving, the subject of giving. How are you participating with your possession into the life of your church? And the third is about hospitality. How are you opening your house for the kingdom of God? How are you serving God's kingdom with your possession, with your car, with your house, with everything that you have? And that's evidence of your love, because love according to God's word is not an emotion, is not noun, is more a verb. And now again, that's a sign, but it's also an exhortation, but it's also a goal for 2009. If I would like to change something into my life, first of all, I want to allow God to transform my heart. Second, I would like to get involved in the local church which God gave to me. And third, I would like to start experiencing or exercising the love without hypocrisy. It's enough saying, oh, I love you all. And you will say, show us by your deeds how much you love us, by your involvement in our lives. And the last sign of our maturity is the way how we overcome conflicts. And I don't know what's your situation, but I do know that God wants for 2009 to be in peace with everyone. And there is only one way to get out of the conflict, by doing good. Book of Matthew will tell you that love your enemies doing three things. Bless them, which means speak well about them. Second, do well for them. And third, pray for them. And it's the same here. If you would like to overcome a conflict, start doing something good for that person. And that's the way to get out of conflict without bitterness, without bad results, or without disturbing the rest of the church. So now we can look again to God's exhortation. If he is hungry, give him to eat. If he is thirsty, with other words, fulfill his physical needs. And we all have needs. Through our needs, we can establish a relationship, we can heal a relationship. Every one of us have needs, and the needs are leading people towards each other or against each other, and that's God's exhortation for us. So now let's make a conclusion. We would like to change our situation for 2009. We understood that God provides a mirror, and in that mirror he will say, hey, you would like to find what's your current spiritual situation, what's your spiritual stage, where you are now, look in my mirror. You don't understand what doesn't mean spiritual growth, I will tell you. First of all, how much you love my word. Second, how much you are involved in your local church. Third, how are you exercising your love without hypocrisy by giving respect to your brothers and sisters, and also by participating in their needs, and also by opening your house for the ministry. And the fourth sign will say, now look at you, how are you solving the conflict? Because all of us will have conflict. You cannot avoid conflict, but it's a question, how are you solving those conflicts? Now, since we have a clear understanding, what does it mean spiritual growth? And that's not only words, but there are some signs which you can compare yourself with the previous year. Now we can make also a decision for 2009 to change the situation. Don't skip the first step, because that's the priority. You'll not be able to solve a conflict or to love, to have a genuine love, or to involve yourself in the ministry if you are not staying in the Word of God, and if you are not allowing God to change, to transform those ugly things which we still have in our hearts, and which James says, get rid of them. Which Peter says, get rid of them by accepting the word of God. Let's see some practical things which we can do in this year. We all are very busy. I discovered one thing here in Cornerstone. I didn't find even one person who is not busy. Every one of us is busy. So try to honor God when you are busy, because he will honor you in all the situations. So try to get God involved in your busy schedule. Allow to have some time, some quiet time with him in the morning, during the day. Second, we have small groups, and Solomon said that it's much easier to do things together, to pray together, or to study the Word of God together. And that's why, as a body of Christ, the body contains of cells, and those cells are the small groups. If you are not a part of the small group, you are in danger. Get involved in a small group. If you don't have in your region, in your neighborhood, one small group, make one. Next, we have three ABF classes. If you want to know if this crisis is the last one, come to Terry lesson about the last day. If you want to understand how can you change yourself from inside to outside, how can you be really Makarios, which means happy in every way, If you want to understand the blessings which God allows us to have on this earth, come to Sermon on the Mountain. If you would like to understand the power of prayer, come to a math class about he will teach Psalms. Also, we are starting a 50-50 prayer group, which we'll have every Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. in the morning in the office, in the fireplace room, where we'll start studying how to pray according to the Word of God, but the 50% of our time will be given to the prayer itself. So we'll study 50% and 50% we'll pray. So don't receive the Word of God, rejoice in the Word of God, and not making any decision because nothing will happen. And because we would like things to change in our lives, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you because we see ourselves infants. We see ourselves far away from you, and I see myself so weak. And I see that I need to grow into your maturity. And I know that you establish everything needed. And I know that you provide everything that we need for this life and for the preparation to meet you. Dear Lord, just convince us this morning to stay in your words. You gave your words one time to the kings, and you said that they had to copy by themselves and to carry with them and to learn that word day by day. And how much more we need this word to let ourselves to be transformed and renewed and to live a really life in freedom. And you said that it's not enough to believe in you, we have to stay in your word, and just in this way we will know your truth, and your truth will make us free. We eagerly are looking for such a freedom, so make that in our hearts, in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We now have an opportunity to continue.